Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 406th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my set of lovely co-hosts to set your eyes upon this morning.
Thank you.
Yep, we have the one, the only, the doctor in the house, Dr. Shamu.
Hello.
And then we, of course, have the one, the only person on the council, on the guild with the letter that begins with the Z. It's Scron.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else has a Z. I think you get that unique thing.
You know, like, there's something about putting a Z in front of your name.
That makes you seem pretentious?
I was going to say that really just irritates people, but that works. And I love it. That's like nobody ever knows whether to say is it Zkron, and then like most people are just like, hey, what's up, Scron? I remember when that was an S.
Regardless of what our names are, welcome to the show. We have a great show planned for you today, and. You can, this is the Puckle Podcast. Puckle standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that we made up in 2007. We're here to give you all the Pokemon news, whether it be, whether it be TCG or video game, or mostly video game right now because we're in that Sword and Shield release cycle. But today we talk everything up to the anime. We're talking anime today. I'm very excited for this episode, actually. I've been wanting to do this topic for like 2 weeks, but then Pokemon Sword and Shield news keeps coming out, and I'm like, oh man, I got to talk about that.
You're not going to have much of a free schedule to pick topics for a while.
I mean, for like the next 2 months, we're going to be pretty booked, I'm sure. Well, probably until the end of the year, honestly, we're going to be pretty booked. And this is one that like, this is just like a passion topic for me, and I really want to talk about it. And I'm very excited. So keep your ears open for that one, kids. But we got other things we want to talk about. We're going to be talking about what's been going on in life, in the universe, and everything. The real deep existential stuff. So what about you, Shammy? What you been up to?
Not really anything. I've been just buying Hidden Fates and wasting money.
I'm sorry. At least you're buying them like at retail.
Yeah, I'm not buying them via TCG player or other sites.
So Pokemon Masters didn't manage to sway you.
I had a grind fest in another mobile game, so I wasn't even playing Masters until like that whole event just finished, so I could play Masters now, but I probably won't.
I don't know that Masters has kept a lot of people.
It was nice that they gave out 6,000 gems for bug issues.
Yeah, they gave. I don't know how much of that was just for bug issues, by the way. I'm wondering how much of that was just like a stimulus package for the game.
It probably was, honestly. It's just that exists, so mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the news, but I mean, there's not much more to it.
I have been procrastinating everything, to the last minute, and because that's how I do stuff. And I've also been preparing for the first premiere challenge that I am hosting.
How's that going to go, you think?
I have been told by 2 people that they are traveling from out of state because there's literally nothing in the Midwest for this. Like, Ohio has
a ton.
Ohio has like an uncomfortably large VGC community, and like everyone that I talked to is like from Ohio, and like literally one of the people who was super like involved in my St. Louis VGC community moved to Ohio 4 hours away, and she's actually in your city now.
Ooh,
yeah. And oh man, what was I? Yeah. Anyway. Like, preparing for a premier challenge is a little bit more work. I've, like, had to track down a VGC professor to help me with it and stuff, and I'm hoping that they show up. Otherwise, I'm doing twice as much work.
I know that pain. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing, because, like, VGC, like, yeah, Ohio's got a ton of it, and I think there's a huge crowd in Ohio. I know that for a fact. There's it's just, like, a ton of players
why
there.
Why Ohio?
So, Ohio is, like, I would say... this is going to be bad for those of you that live in like Michigan, and I'm going to say Michigan and like Illinois. You're going to slightly disagree with me. The other places in the Midwest probably will not. But it is the most quote unquote sophisticated Midwestern state. I have to say there's just like a ton of people that live here. I think it's one of the more populous Midwestern states outside.
That is
like,
definitely, that is definitely a bold assertion to make.
I don't think so. And I think also what makes Ohio different than other places is that we just have so many large cities compared to other states. If you look if you look at Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland,
Dayton. Oh my God. Yeah.
They're all, you have a bunch of larger cities. I wouldn't include Dayton. Let's not include Dayton. but Cincinnati, Columbus and Cleveland are all in like the top 30 largest cities in the United States. And you've got them all within one state, and they're spread out in the state. Like, they're not all next to each other, which I think gives a huge advantage to the Ohio community in that regard.
I was going to continue on real quick. So the meta for this year is divided into halves rather than thirds, as they did last Sun, Moon, and Ultra series. So for VGC, it's basically a continuation of the Ultra series until January 4th, when it switches over to the Sword and Shield meta, which whatever that is going to be, right?
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for that now, because I've basically found a venue that has like TVs at the location.
Oh, that's nifty. Yeah.
Something like 16 TVs, and like a few of them have Switch ports, so you can actually like stream during the tournament and stuff.
That's cool.
I'm kind of excited for, you know, switching over and doing that.
That's actually really cool. That'll be fun.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. As for me, what have I been working on? We did the Nuzlocke this week. We did some more Nuzlocking for funsies. That was a good time. If you haven't caught it, yeah, they're going up on YouTube. I think we have like something like 3 episodes a week right now. I'm trying to get better at my pacing, because we decided that we wanted to try for like 30 to 40 minute videos instead of like hour and a half videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on my pacing there. So bear with me. Once we get to 30, 40 minute videos, it's going to be like one video a day. Like you just keep watching my face play a Nuzlocke and stuff will happen.
If you want Thatch to be your best friend, just watch them on repeat.
Yep. I'm not even going to deny it. Yeah, just be my best friend and watch it on repeat. There's that. It's a good time. I appreciate anybody that goes and watches the YouTube. We hit those 1,000 subs, and I really appreciate the community for doing that. Now we just need the watch minutes, and we can repartner. We're pretty close. I think we're like 93 watch minutes away. 93,000 watch minutes away. I shouldn't say 93. We are 93,000 watch minutes away, though, from hitting partner again. So, I mean, that's the next goal, right? Just hit partner on YouTube, and then everything's hunky-dory. And we could cruise along doing our YouTube nonsense.
Yep,
but
yep.
The podcast will never disappear, though, because we're too stubborn.
You can't get rid of us. That's why we're the longest ready.
Yeah, honestly, probably. Yeah. honestly, I'm not going to deny that. And so the other thing, though, is, I mean, so for that Nuzlocke, I hands down think that the worst decision was ever made by our Twitter. Picking Snivy was the worst decision. As a starter, like, no joke, like, there's so many times where we're just like, man, this Servine does nothing.
It was literally 50-50 until the very end, I believe, and then it was 50 off.
It literally won by one vote. It's still alive. It's absolutely stupid. It's like the one thing that's still alive, and it's just, it keeps going, I mean, it's mostly because you would never use it in any situation, so you don't like send it out there as like fodder ever. And it and so the MVP's really been like Golbat. Not gonna lie.
Oh, for sure. That makes sense.
It's been Golbat. Golbat's been like MVP right now, but now we're about to hit the electric gym, so Golbat's no longer gonna be MVP. Just been fishing for that N sand dial.
Oh boy. So is that like an N clause?
Yeah, we have an N's clause. So, because like in Black and White 2, you can catch Pokemon with the OTN. And so there's like a couple of things with it. One, we can catch them regardless if they're not the first encounter of the route. You can catch them. They don't count for or against that. And two, if we sacrifice them to the gods, we can resurrect old party members. Yeah.
That is really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, sacrifice them to the gods. That's what the chat decided. They said kill off the Darmanitan, and then
your old trainer released you from your Pokeballs, but I shall release you from this plane of existence.
Essentially, yeah.
Oh yeah, so the Darmanitan child like killed half your team.
It wasn't the actually. It was a different
Darumaka.
It was a Darumaka. Darumaka.
Yeah, I'm saying
like,
the Darmanitan child killed half your team. Yes.
It killed like two Mons. And Darumaka is scary, man.
Probably had hustle.
Dude, Darumaka is scary. And also in Black and White 2, there's like a 5% chance for Trapinch, which we played around with. We manipulated the game so that we could like 100% the Trapinch. And so we got the Trapinch, but battling Trapinches are scary because they have Arena Trap and their defense is stupid high. So, like, if you have something incorrect at the lead of your party, when that happens, you're just like, well, I guess you're dead now. Like, that's how Onyx died. Onyx got arena trapped by a Trapinch.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm surprised that the Pokemon Company hasn't, you know, been cruel enough yet to give a Pokemon arena trap and, like, also, like, self-destruct. You know?
That would be really cruel. That would be really cruel. They're not too far away, honestly. Like, I mean, sturdy Geodude in Gen 4 is probably just as bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, everyone just runs. They're super slow.
All right, that's where we'll end this, and we're gonna kick it on over to the news where we got some cool things to talk about. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. The news is here to bring you all of the cool stuff that's happening in all of the Pokemon world. The first being that Pokemon Go got a giant update. It's not live yet, but it's in the code, so it's been data mined as such because Pokemon Go people do that. And so what's happened is we got all of the data for every single Gen 5 Pokemon. Gen 5 has officially been added to Pokemon Go. Some honorable mentions about what's happening with this Gen 5 update are the following. The first being that there is also a thing called a Unova Stone now, which is really depressing.
Okay.
Because I understand why the Sinnoh Stone existed, because you were evolving old Pokemon into new Pokemon. But the Unova Stone is just evolving new Pokemon into new Pokemon. So Pokemon like Pansage needs a Unova Stone.
Essentially, stuff that needs stones needs a
anything
Unova
that
stone.
Yeah, anything that needed a stone to evolve in Generation 5 needs a Unova Stone. Riddle me that one. Yeah. I don't understand. It's fine.
All right. That's incentives to do PvP.
I guess. I don't know. That you're assuming that it's available via PvP. I mean, it'd be nice if they were more readily available. I think that's the problem with Sinnoh Stones as of right now, is that they're just not readily available. The other thing to note to mention, which is going to make a lot of people upset, is that Larvesta to Volcarona is 400 candies.
Ooh, I wonder how rare they're going to be.
That's a really good question.
It's going to be rare.
Yeah, I mean, 400 candies for probably what I would assume would be in a 10K egg.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the hardcore Pokemon Go players are probably just going to drop like a huge amount of their rare candy reserves.
Yes, exactly.
If as long as like the spawn rate's not, you know, terrible, but eventually they are going to have a candy day for the Vesta for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, sometime next year.
Yeah, they typically hit the 10K mons pretty well. I mean, we got the Ralts event that already happened, and we had we have Turtwig. Turtwig just happened, or is it this weekend? I think Turtwig's this weekend.
Nobody cares about Turtwig Day.
Yeah, nobody cares about Turtwig Day. No. I care about whatever's in October. I hope we get a cool spooky mon.
Yeah, it's like every other month is something interesting.
And then the other ones are starters, which is fair, because I think starters are the like those are like the iconic ones. So I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset about it at all. They're interesting. I'm a big fan of Gen 5 coming out. I mean, we're just playing through the Nuzlocke of it, so I'm excited to see new Pokemon out and about again. I haven't caught up on Gen 4, so I think I'm most of the way through Gen 4, but I don't think I've caught up on it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm very excited to see if they do the thing in December again, though.
Oh, yeah, where it brings back all the past community days.
Yeah, I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, I've missed a lot of community days this year just because, like, working on Saturdays and stuff.
It's not even that. I think it's just like burnout from having to do it like every month. And the problem is they've been, so I will, it's been like a double-edged sword. Like, it's great that they've been moving them around on different weekends, but at the same time they like put two of them like almost back to back, and it's just like, I can't keep doing this, guys. I just can't keep doing this. And it was just burnout on community days.
Yeah, that was a trial.
Yes.
Like, literally, routes, I was at a wedding as it was happening, and I'm just like,
I want routes. The next piece of news that I think is interesting is that the Pokemon Sword and Shield website had a quote-unquote glitch. It's like an intentional glitch. They're trying to say a Rotom got into their system and revealed a new Pokemon, but it didn't because it's all pixelated. It looks like a duck holding a Joust. People are thinking this is the Sirfetch'd from the leak, or not the leak, but the rumor that was going around that's been like 90%
from the leak.
Yeah. I was laughing too.
Okay, you know what? You guys are done. We're all done. We're all done.
That's why it's funny that it holds a leak.
But it looks like if this is what everybody's saying might be the Sirfetch'd, the Galarian evolution of Farfetch'd. I hope that if this is the case, we get a... So it also comes with a small Pokedex entry that and listed as a fighting type on the website as well. That
it's a fighting type with Steadfast.
Yeah, with Steadfast. So, I mean, Farfetch'd has Steadfast already. So
no, it does not.
It doesn't?
It does not. No.
It does not? It's like, I thought it had Steadfast.
I thought so too, and I looked. It gets Defiant, which is hidden. It gets like Keen Eye and Inner Focus or something. I'll look it up real quick. But I know it does not get Steadfast.
Okay, I think Steadfast and Inner Focus, though, are the same ability.
Essentially, yes.
I think they're the same ability.
Is it? That's what I assume it is. It's kind of where it's getting it from.
Yeah, but that's what I assume. It is listed as a fighting type, and it actually has a little Pokedex entry with just like blanks to be filled in, and it says when something happens to it, it will retire from combat, and it says... And it states that this Pokemon has survived many battles, and it'll become it if it survives many battles, which is a hint that it's an evolution. I'm hoping that if it is a Galarian evolution, that means we have a Galarian form of the Pokemon it evolves from, because otherwise I think the lore kind of breaks, in my opinion.
Actually, it might be an actual evolution. Because look at the thing here is that the Japanese site also gave a partial name, which is NITE. I just looked at Farfetch's Japanese name, and it's Kamanegi. It didn't even have, like, Knight in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be with the Obstagoon scenario.
Well, I would assume.
A Kama is a type of weapon. I need to see if there are any. No, I don't know. Kama, that is a type of weapon in Negi. That sounds familiar. It's also.
Yeah.
I would be okay if it were evolving from a form. I'm not a big fan if they go ahead and say, "Hey, Farfetch'd evolves in Galar," and that's it, right? It needs to be Galarian Farfetch'd evolves in Galar, right?
What it sounds like to me is you're trying to find a justification for headcanon, and I've got a suggestion for you. So listen,
It's also because if they do this, they're essentially creating a Pokemon that will no longer exist after Generation 8. That's also my problem with it.
Okay, well, if they do this, add an extra evolution, think about Farfetch'd as having previously been like hunted to extinction, so maybe they never got a chance to evolve.
Still not a fan of that. I don't like them just adding on an evolution. They've been very good up until this point about just not adding on evolutions willy-nilly. They make sure that it's consistent with the previous games, hence why we can't evolve an Eevee with a Moonstone to get an Umbreon and a Sunstone to get an Espeon, because that would make sense. They instead made a new mechanic to evolve them that we didn't have before. Same thing. I think the only instance where there's this incompatibility is with Piloswine to Mamoswine, because I believe in Generation 3, Piloswine could learn Ancient Power. And I think that is the only instance where there was an evolution mechanic that existed that could have been hit on in a previous generation that wasn't hit on in the generation, the subsequent generation. And Pokemon's been good about it. I don't want to see Slot, but I would also like to see a Galarian Farfetch'd. I think that would be cool.
I think that's what they'll do. They'll make Galarian, and then they'll like go the Obstagoon route and make it a new actual name.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Obstagoon's going to be a one-off.
No. If they've shown it once, they're gonna do that probably with other regional forms now that we've done. They're going to do it again.
Yeah.
They're giving it Alolan Exeggutor, so it's technically a different number, too, in a way.
I really liked that they brought back regionals, and I'm a huge fan of that because it's probably one of the best ideas they've had in quite a while to just like refresh old Pokemon. And I'm glad that they're embracing it and they're bringing it back in a new game. And I'm very happy that they brought back old evolutions that they seem to have like put to aside since Gen 5, and they brought it back in this one. And they found a really cool way to go about that with getting around Eviolite. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm a really, really big fan. So with that, though, the last thing that I want to talk about is if you are still playing Pokemon Masters, they did just drop 6,000 gems in your bank account because of a recent bug with Dire Hit, because Dire Hit wasn't working well, and it was very sad. So now you can get 6,000 gems, and that's like 20 sync pair recruits, which was really nice. I got blue through it finally, which was really nice.
I'm gonna log in right now just for this.
Yeah, you'll get the 6,000 gems.
I haven't opened this since the day it came out, but I'm gonna.
it's an okay little gift to get. You can go get 20 summons.
Huh.
Yeah,
I was looking at what they. I'm trying to figure out. So they kind of nerfed stuff. Is what they did.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Oh my gosh! Turn the sound off.
I wasn't kidding.
All right, but that is it for the news. I don't think there's much else. In Puckle news, Kanto versus the World is still accepting signups for, like, I think another week or so.
I am not sure.
Please go ahead and do that. The other thing is we are going to be doing a Puckle movie night on Tuesday, September 17th. Be there or be square. I believe we're starting that around 7 o'clock, 7:30. Be there. We're going to have a good time. I think we're watching the Detective Pikachu movie together. So you can come by, watch Detective Pikachu, hang out with the Puckle people while we're doing it. We can talk about leaving town, and it's just going to be a fantastic time together as a community. We're trying to bring back Puckle movie nights. We're very excited to be able to do this. Outside of that, though, I think that's where we're at. So we are going to shift gears here, guys, and we're going to move on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz our co-host on their insane, innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane innate Pokemon knowledge. That means no computer screens for you two. You guys got to use what's up in your noggins. Today, Shamu and Scrawn are going to be operating together as a team to try to answer 5 Pokemon trivia questions, each worth 1 point apiece, except when they're not. There's one question that'll be worth a bonus point. And, of course, they can go ahead and use a hint as a lifeline. However, if they do not use that hint throughout the entire series of questions and get all the questions correct, they can cash that in for an extra point for a possible total of 7 today. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to see who can get to 30 points faster. Whoever gets to gets the 30 points gets a $20 TeePublic credit to buy things such as a Puckle throw pillow, a Puckle tapestry, or even a Puckle phone case.
Does anyone actually throw pillows?
I do.
Nice.
You throw them on the couch. You just throw them. and,
or at a cat.
And then they stay there. And I also do have a Puckle throw pillow. I recently set up everything down in my basement so I could have a green screen for some of the videos that we're planning on shooting in the future for the YouTube. And I was playing around with the camera and I was taking pictures so that we could have thumbnails for future videos. And I made some, and one of them that I made that I don't think I shared with everybody was me like holding the throw pillow and just like having a really good time with the throw pillow.
I'm just imagining like a montage of you like having a pillow fight with various Puckalonians. and Cindy Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun is blaring in the background.
I've imagined you like, it's like a shot of you at one end of a table with like a cup or something, and then a shot to the other side with a pillow in the chair.
You guys are
like an outdoor lunch or something.
You guys are you're coming up with great ideas for next year's PuckleCon.
Is it gonna be the new Sergeant Quackers? Just gonna take the throw pillow everywhere and take pictures of it, give it on Instagram. Or like,
all right, yeah, moving on. This segment of the show is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, where you can get a bunch of cool anime themed art, and also just not anime, just like cool nerddom art. It's just fantastic. I love these guys. Go check out their website, AnimeGravy.com. You can pick up some really, really cool stuff. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into these questions. Question number one for you folks is, what is the most common ability on Pokemon?
I feel like it's levitate or pressure. Those two both come to mind. Because a lot of legendaries are straight up have pressure.
But if you add them all together, you get like maybe 30, 40, and I feel like it's probably even that's a good amount. But then you gotta think about like little things they get, like, oh, all the birds get big packs or something. And it's Kenai is a random ability.
It's just the most common ability, right? Like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Big packs, really?
I'm just saying, like, a bird line, an entire bird line gets it. That's three Pokemon right there. And then what if, like, each bird line, nothing at each bird line gets it. But, you know, like, that adds up through evolution lines.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking about singular Pokemon.
That's right.
Though pressure is given to other Pokemon that aren't legends. It's just, I'm saying, that's a thing that we gotta keep in mind.
No, you're right. Okay. So, I'm thinking...
I'm okay with saying pressure still. It's just, I don't want to, like, go right to that.
So, maybe, like, cute charm because of baby Pokemon. Let's see. I don't think that levitate outweighs pressure, so
no, it doesn't.
Count that one out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need an answer.
I almost agree with you and go with pressure because I can't think.
Yeah.
Of anything that outweighs at the moment.
All right. Pressure is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is actually sturdy. Sturdy has like 41 Pokemon. Pressure isn't actually that high up on the list, if I'm incorrect. Pressure, so for reference, Sturdy has 41 unique Pokemon with pressure with Sturdy. And Pressure has, it looks like, 25.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad. But that's about
Kenai was in second place, though. Kenai was in second. Kenai and Swiftwim are both like really high up there.
I thought about Swiftwim for a second. I'm thinking like I know it's a couple Pokemon that get and like that's probably not enough.
Swiftwim and Kenai are both very high up there as well. But Sturdy wins that race.
Ooh, very cool.
But moving on, question number two. What mythical Pokemon can learn Psybeam but not Psychic or Psyshock?
Huh.
Psybeam, but it's not Psychic or Psyshock.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's a mythical Pokemon.
It is a mythical Pokemon.
Okay, so...
And I assume this is just by... This is by overall, not by
it's
level.
It's not Meloetta.
Yeah, overall, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Mew, it's not Celebi.
Mew and Celebi both can learn Psychic at the very least.
Yeah.
Jirachi can learn Psychic.
Victini?
Victini, I believe, can learn... Can it?
I'm sure about Victini, actually.
I'm not either, thinking about it.
It might be Marshadow.
Marshadow and Psybeam?
I'm not sure. I know it doesn't learn Psychic or
I don't know
Psyshock.
If it learns Psybeam, though. I could see Victini learning Psybeam. It wouldn't be Manaphy.
But like,
I think Manaphy
I feel like they'd also stick Psychic on Victini for the hell of it. Yeah. Manaphy, maybe. Yeah, that's actually
good. Manaphy's a possible, but I just don't think it... I think it can... I don't think it learns Psybeam at all.
Okay. And,
but it's up there.
Genesect, because it uses beams. I feel like that's a stupid enough explanation that it's probably true.
I'm not even sure. I'm okay with it. I'm really going for it with the memes. For the memes
like, its whole thing is like shooting beams from its back, and that's literally the only justification I have, and if you want to go with that, then...
I'm okay with going with that.
Alright. Okay.
Genesect is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Magearna.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
Magearna learned Psybeam for some reason. It's a thing.
All right. I'm sorry, Shadow. I feel like I've been...
Oh, that's fine. I don't care. I wasn't going to say Magearna anyway. I didn't think it learned Psybeam, so...
All right. This next question is your Pokedex entry question. So I'm going to give you a Pokedex entry, and you need to tell me what Pokemon this is. So this Pokemon, introduced in Generation 4, has a Pokemon X Pokedex entry that states... It attracts its prey with its sweet-smelling saliva, then chomps down. It takes a whole day to eat prey. Who's that Pokemon?
Gee.
So, Gen 4.
It's Carnivine, right?
That sounds right, yeah. No, Carnivine sounds right, actually.
All right.
I am... Okay, master.
Carnivine is correct. That gets you guys on the board. You are 1-3 right now. And because you missed out, this next question will also include a redemption point for you guys.
Ooh.
So this question will typically be worth 2 points, but it's going to be worth 3 for you.
Okay.
In the Kellogg's Pokemon Toasted Oat Cereal with Marshmallow Bits released in May of 2000.
Oh, boy.
What four Pokemon were the Marshmallow Bits shaped like? And I will give you a point for each Pokemon you can think of that the Marshmallow Bits are shaped like, and I will confirm along the way.
Okay.
I'm gonna say you guys get 6 tries.
Okay.
You'll get 2 incorrect answers, and then we're gonna stop.
All right. Wait a minute, Shadu. Before this, Gen 2 is in year 2000 as well, right? Or no?
I will make the clarification. These are all Generation 1 Pokemon. I'll give you that.
Okay. So
I think one of the obvious mascot.
Yeah, Pikachu.
That is correct.
Meowth, probably?
That is incorrect. You have one more incorrect guess. Incorrect guesses.
Okay, can, like, I check with Shamu?
You can check. You can check, yes.
Okay, it's fine.
I oddly want to say Poliwhirl.
Poliwhirl? Okay, so...
Because they used Poliwhirl a lot in the back, in the days. I remember this.
All right.
Because I have old Pokemon merch somewhere. Like, in, like, the macaroni boxes, there was one with a Poliwhirl. I can tell you that.
All right.
Are you going to want to say Poliwhirl?
Yeah.
That is correct. That's 2 points for you so far. You get two more. You get more. Two more incorrect guesses.
Okay. All right.
Another option might be Clefairy. I don't know if we're that one.
Clefairy maybe. I feel like they probably like put really easily shaped Pokemon.
Yeah. So, like, it wouldn't be Eevee at that time.
Yeah. They're not going to put, like, Zubat in there because it's too much production effort.
Try to think of other Pokemon that would be well-known-ish.
Like Staryu? Or Starny? But nobody likes those, so. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, let's go with Clefairy.
Clefairy is incorrect. You have one more incorrect shot. You are 2 of 4.
Koffing or Ekans, maybe?
I can see Koffing. I don't know about Ekans. You guys think about Ekans, like the shape?
No, they wouldn't put Koffing in a cereal because it represents pollution, and that's clear.
That's true.
Magikarp, maybe?
Some I'm okay with going for it. Like, we got 2 points at the moment. I'm okay with, like, that. If we can get more, we get more. But,
and what about Snorlax? Like, Snorlax seems to be the shape.
Maybe. He did have one. Oh, wait, there's 4. What about Bulbasaur, Charmander, or Squirtle?
Oh my god.
I feel like maybe...
Well, definitely Charmander, right? So...
I don't know if they...
You haven't used your hint today either. Like, I'm just throwing this out.
We may as well use a hint. We don't have redemption for that.
I will say one of these is very easy to make as a shape because it's essentially a pile of goo. And then another one of them is a grass poison type.
So Ditto and a Bulbasaur?
I mean, it could be Grimer or Muk, but for the similar coughing reason, I'd say it's probably Ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah, so ditto.
Ditto is correct, and you get one more. You know what? If you get this next one, I'll give you 4 points if you get it with your last shot.
Oh, my
God. So you said it's the grass poison. So it's either... I want to say it's Bulbasaur, but it could be something like Oddish. I think it's more likely to be Bulbasaur, though.
I have a sneaking suspicion it's Squirtle. Because it's a one.
It's a grass poison.
I just said it's a grass poison. I gave you the hint.
It's a grass poison. We know it's grass poison.
I think it's Squirtle.
Oh, okay. I'm an idiot. It's all right. yeah, it's probably Bulbasaur, but it could be something crazy like Vileplume, because for some reason I've seen Vileplume in old merch.
I doubt they'd make a mushroom shaped like a Rafflesia flower. Rafflesia plant, whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah, it's all good. I'm cool with... Yeah, you decide this last one, man.
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur is incorrect. The answer is Oddish. Yeah.
Son of a...
It was Poliwhirl, Pikachu, Ditto, and Oddish for those of you at home. There was a Generation 2 box that came out later that year. It included only 3 marshmallow shapes. It was Pichu, Wobbuffet, and Cleffa. Just as like a fun fact.
Yeah, because everyone wants to eat Cleffa.
Yep. They look very fluffy. And now I kind of want some like children's cereal with like marshmallows, but not like Lucky Charms. Like Lucky Charms is too on brand. I want something that was just like, oh, hey, we want to promote this TV show. I want that kind of cereal right now.
Mermaid cereal. Got like a sparkly box.
I think they still have, like Super Mario cereal right now.
That's been out for a long time if they have.
I think it's still there though. Oh, right. But that gives you guys 3 points. So you guys are 4 for 4 now on that redemption. The next question is your base stat question as always. And I want you to channel your Dennis the Mimikyu Maniac from the Discord server. And I want you to let me know what ghost type Pokemon has the lowest base speed stat of all ghost type Pokemon.
Your mask
comes to mind is mask.
I just don't know if your mask or your mask loses speed.
Yeah, like
what I don't think it would actually. Cause I think it's still low.
It's like the only ghost type specifically based on Trick Rooms.
Yeah, like, I'm so very much with like your mask.
Uh-huh.
Like I can't give it some more time just in case it pops into mind. But like I can't think of anything else that's slower. Yeah, like there's Palossand. But I don't think Palossand's that slow. Not that slow. Like, Confugrigus is literally like 30 at most.
Wouldn't Sandy Gas be slower than
Palossand? Maybe. But even then, like, and Confugrigus, I think it's like 30 base.
I'm cool with Yamask.
Sure. Let's go with Yamask.
Yamask is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Sandygast. Base speed of 15. Yamask has a base speed of 30, like double. It's like running around like Sonic compared to Sandygast. So unfortunately, that gives you guys 3 or 4 points today, and that does move around our leaderboard because people got on the board today. And so right now, let me sort everything, and then we'll give the numbers. So in first place with 9 points, we have a Whimsicott. In second place with a whole 8 points, we have Dr. Shamu. Followed up, tied in third place, we have Seth Vilo and Jushiro with 5 points. And bringing up fifth with 4 points is Scrawn. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. So there you go. It's going to be a good time. We are going to take a short break here, guys, and we're going to come right back at you with the topic. Thank you once again for the awesome iTunes reviews. We got another 5-star from James L. Tay. Gotta listen to them all. This group of trainers and friends are awesome. Funny, respectful, and helpful. These guys make you feel like family and will help you battle Team Rocket. They cover all things Pokemon, and that's what we want, right? And the community networking is great. They'll help you whether it's TCG, VGC, or even TCGO. Anyways, give them a listen and you won't be disappointed. Well, thank you for that, James. We really appreciate it. And if you want your review read on the show, you can go over to our iTunes page and leave us a review, and we'll be more than happy to read it on the show. So yeah, we are going to kick it on over, though, guys, to the topic. And on to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the anime past, future, and present. Actually, it's just future. I just wanted to say something that rolled off the tongue a little bit better. But what happened recently, for those of you who aren't following the news of the Pokemon anime, we recently got a trailer. I think about 2 weeks ago, we got a trailer for the quote-unquote new Pokemon anime. It was a teaser trailer for a trailer, like, no joke. On September 29th, we're going to be getting a new trailer for the next Pokemon anime.
And they're still using Discount Ash?
So we don't know. That's the question, right? that's the question, because this one, this trailer that they gave us two pieces of information, and it leaves the door open, wide open for speculation, and things can go rampant. So I want to go with the facts right now and just say what the facts are, and then we can talk about what the what we want. And that's where I hope this discussion goes. So the two facts that we have is we know that it's going to feature pretty much all of the Pokemon from all of the regions, because that's what they went through every region and showed every set of starters from every region, and that they're taking the name of the show back from, like, Pokemon, you know, subtitle here to just Pocket Monsters in Japan. They're just taking it all the way back. And so the question I have is, one, do we think this is a reboot? Two, do we think this might be a supplementary series to Pokemon? Or three, is Ash going to win the Alola League and then we're done with Ash?
I believe he actually wins the Alola League. There's, like, some leaks of it.
It hasn't been officially confirmed yet.
We haven't officially gotten it, but there were some screenshots from something that they found that shows him holding the trophy.
Oh, I totally believe he wins.
By the time our by the time this is out, we'll know, because it airs on Sunday.
It does. It actually airs, like, later tonight.
Yeah, so we'll know, like, by the time Monday hits if he actually wins or not.
You know, I'm not terribly caught up with the anime, but doesn't Ash, like, have a whole lot of Ultra Beasts that he could just spam?
Nope.
He has Melmetal.
He doesn't even have a full party right now.
No, he doesn't. He's got five Pokemon.
What happened to catching them all, Ash? What happened to catching them all?
Yeah, like, he got rid of the Poiple.
He had a Poiple for a little bit, and then
Why
went
did
back.
Get rid of it? That's so cool.
Because it was like a Gudra thing where it was just like, but I'm back with my people, and then it's just like, I'm gonna protect my people. And then it stayed with its people, and so Poipole stayed there, and it never came back like Gudra did. So Ash right now only has a Rowlet, a Torracat, Pikachu, obviously, a Lycanroc, and then a Melmetal. And that's,
what's the deal with Gudra then?
So what happened with his Gudra was last gen. He doesn't bring that stuff back with him.
So you're talking about a similar scenario.
It was a similar scenario.
Yeah, because he left behind his, like, Sligoo or whatever, and evolved into the Gudra and became the protector of the swamp, like Shrek.
Yeah. And then it came back for the league at the end because he still didn't have a full party when he got there and he needed one.
Oh my god.
So it came back.
I know you got these pressing issues protecting the swamp, but can you come help me out, Shrek?
Could you come help me out? And then, yeah. Because we refuse to acknowledge that you've caught Pokemon previously and would like to transfer them over. Like, it's just been a thing since Gen 4. Gen 4 was the last, like, big league where he brought all of his Pokemon in. And it was, I'm really sad that we don't see that happen anymore. There's a couple theories on the interwebs about what could be happening. One could be a quote-unquote Champions League in the anime, where, because now that Ash has become a champion of a league, he gets to go compete in, like, this next tier. And what we're going to be following is the story of other people who are champions of different leagues that are also going to be coming to Galar to be in this giant, like, Pokemon Champions League, which would be an interesting concept. I'd be down for it. I'm all for, like, a Pokemon Chronicles-esque anime where we just get to follow the stories of several different protagonists for different episodes. I'm all for that 100%.
I do like the aspect of going to different regions. That's really nice.
I do like that as well. I like that we get to come and we get to explore that history of the Pokemon franchise.
Out of all the regions that Ash could become champion of, I feel like Alola was designed the most, sort of befitting that. Because, like, in Sun and Moon originally, like, he's Kukui. And he's like, I'm not actually a champion, but you gotta beat me.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens here, though, is that they put it together and then they're just like, yeah, whoever wins it. And it's a medium sized fish in a small pond type situation.
Oh, actually, isn't the finals against in the anime? I think it's against Gladion.
Yeah, it's against Gladion.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like that's going to
be. It's going to be interesting. The only thing I don't like is that in the past, like, tournaments we've had at the end of each arc of the anime or each series of the anime, we've had like full on like really cool 6v6 battles, and we're not going to get that here. I think it's a 3v3, which is sad, because like some of my best memories of watching the Pokemon anime, and this is probably just nostalgia, like me longing for the days that I was a child again, but like the things that stick in my head are like the big 6v6 battles, like Ash versus Richie. Well, I guess that wasn't 6v6, that was 3v3 still. But like against I think his name was Drake, the leader of the Orange Islands. I remember that battle very vividly, that big 6v6, and then the big 6v6 between Ash and Gary. Those are like two big things that stick out of my head.
I forgot about all those. Like in the, mm-hmm. like, even the Gen 2 League against the guy with the Blaziken.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a huge showdown. That was great.
We're talking like 3-4 episodes of just like Pokemon battles, and I love it. And I really miss it. I really miss it. Granted, I miss a lot of things about the older anime. Like I really miss like the Team Rocket borderline dirty jokes. I really miss that. It doesn't happen anymore, but I miss it.
I don't remember where I found it. Because I thought there's also a promo image that showed some Pokemon on the front. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it is.
Are you talking about the calendar?
Oh yeah, the calendar. That's what it was.
The new calendar for next year, where you still see Alolan Vulpix and Shaymin.
And then there's a Sylveon too.
And a Sylveon, yeah. And, I'm wondering if we just get to like celebrate the Pokemon anime as a whole after. I mean, it's been on for like 22 years now. So I'm wondering if we get to really just celebrate that. I'm okay with that too.
We have two kind of loose ends so far in the anime. One of them is kind of a half loose end. Mallow had the Shaymin.
Yes.
And she would keep watching it until it could learn to fly. If they're going to all regions, there could be a point where they go to Sinnoh.
Oh.
And they're the Gracidia field, whatever, and revisit that, and then she lets go of the Shaymin. Cool.
And maybe they've been teasing it kind of. Maybe they've been teasing it like with the Brock and Misty thing where they just came back randomly for three episodes.
They were kind of like testing the waters, I think, maybe with that.
That would be interesting. Just see if people are interested in going back and seeing like old people, old characters again, which I am. Like, let's bring back Richie. Yeah. Bring back Richie. Let's do it.
Also, the other thing with Lily.
And everybody's favorite character, Todd.
I don't remember these characters.
That's the joke.
Okay.
Richie was the other kid with the Pikachu.
Okay, yeah. And he had like the Pikachu had like little hair tuff.
He had Sparky. He had like the punk rock Pikachu, right? And then Todd is the guy from Pokemon Snap who they shoved in like four episodes to be like, hey, you should go buy Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. And don't forget about our good friends Butch and Cassidy.
Okay, those legit, I'd be okay with seeing come back.
Better Team Rocket grunts.
I'd be really upset, though, if they don't get Butch's voice right. And I'll be very upset about it. And they have to.
What are you talking about, Thatch?
Yeah, they need to hire you. That's what I'm saying.
I do want to go back to that calendar for a second before we get too far off. Because the other thing, they have Lily, who owns a Magearna that's not active.
That's true. That is a plot point that hasn't been wrapped up yet.
They might just like let it go. It's like, oh yeah, here we're showing Magearna for fan service. But like that could be a thing where that's another plot point they cover in it.
That would be interesting.
Shaman's more likely, but like that's a possibility they might stumble across or use it later on.
I mean, I like the idea of the Shaman thing just because then you kind of, I don't know. So the thing that I'm really hoping for is that we get some sort of thing that's kind of like Pokemon Generations. Where you kind of just
it's like
get
snapshots
these,
essentially.
You can get these snapshots in different regions, like they're just flying around. You know, I don't know.
A couple episodes of this, a couple episodes of that. They might try.
I mean,
you
could get rid of so much filler if you're just following eight people around. I'm not gonna lie, you kill off so many filler episodes.
Yeah,
because it's just like gym battle after gym battle after gym battle, and I'm into it, man. I do miss my minor slice of traveling life that we got in Gen 1 and Gen 2. But nowadays, it's pretty much gone, I would say.
You know, I think that the Pokemon world is pretty cool because you've got, like, cities and then acres and acres of undeveloped pastures.
Well, that's what happens when half the Earth's population dies off in a giant war.
Well.
I'm kidding.
So, like, everything reverts to pasture? I feel like there's a certain amount of effort that takes, you know.
I don't think that's true. I will tell you from personal experience, I don't know that that's true, because my family owns a farm, right? And we stopped farming it for like 20 years before the government caught us and said they were going to tax it as residential property. And then we started farming it again recently. But we didn't farm it for like 20 years and it just turned into grass.
Hmm.
Yeah. It turns out it's pretty easy to do that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it took like no time. Like it was within like 5 years of us not farming it that it just turned into grass. Just as like a small aside. So everything just turns into pasture. That's what I've decided.
Yeah.
It's all just rural Japan. That's what the entire world turns into.
Yeah, the Kanto region.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though I would love to see some new stories. I'd love to see some new stories and just see them like really go back to old places. Like one of my favorite things in the anime that happened was when they went back to Kanto for the Battle Frontier. That was such a cool moment to have, was Ash going back to a region and exploring it again. I do miss the Orange Islands. I wish those would get some kind of recognition as of existing ever again. Like that would be really cool, you know?
This arc was filler while we make the Gen 2 stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they didn't expect the anime to go on for more than a season. And but how do you guys feel if they were to kill off Ash? Like, how would you feel about that? What would you want?
I would to do that? Encourage it full-heartedly.
I don't... partially,
ahead.
I'm like half and half. Like, I'd rather have them make a separate one. Leave
right?
Ash, like, I think we talked about it before. I would like rather them leave mm-hmm. Ash in one and then have the other in the other. Like, make a separate one with more, like... We talked about it yesterday, I think, during the live show.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Or during or after or something like that. But, like, especially the Pokemon Adventure, there's something more, like... Just cover... Like, have they had generations for a bit, too, in Chronicles. Like, just do something like that. Like, little mm-hmm. snapshots of stuff. Do, like, smaller, like, things with, like, some of the side characters. Like, oh, let's go back to Brock for, like, 4 episodes. He has to do something. Let's go back to these other characters they've introduced and just have little mini arcs with them or something. Like,
I wouldn't be against just like a full-on Pokemon Adventures anime. I've said that several times. I think Pokemon Adventures is the best story in all of Pokemon. And I think people should go ahead and read the manga, get the story. It's a great time. I think doing the Pokemon Adventures manga as anime is not a terrible idea. I also am not against something like the trailer for Black and White 2, if you guys remember that from like way back in 2011, where they just showed like snapshots of like the Pokemon Black and White 2 story that they went ahead and animated.
Oh, I think I remember seeing that.
If they did something that was way truer to the games,
that would be nice to do.
Honestly, like, I don't want to say the word mature, but something that's catered towards an older audience, right? I think you've gotten to the point in your 20-year history, Pokemon, that there's a significant number of people like us who are making this podcast of this age group that can take an older Pokemon anime. And I think if you could do that, you could tell some really cool stories that you aren't capable of telling now. And honestly, I think something like that is a great way to hit a smaller market that you're not hitting right now that would come back and play the games because they got so hyped from watching this anime.
I mean, okay, the reality is they aren't going to do that because the only show that is the only channel that's really going to broadcast Pokemon is either Disney or Cartoon Network.
In the United States.
Sure.
But what about in Japan?
Sure. And
it's very easily that something could be picked up in Japan and get thrown on Crunchyroll or
yeah, exactly.
Depending on who does the
They could do that in Japan. That's true. I just don't know that, like, especially given Cartoon Network's leadership, that they would, you know, be willing to deviate from a formula that doesn't directly sell toys.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think we're also going on the verge of like this is a separate show, not the main Ash one. But if they did, they could either way.
Yeah.
If it was only one show, then yeah, most likely Cartoon Network wouldn't pick it up if it's more of a mature audience, or based for a mature audience. Like,
oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I think there's definitely ways, especially in the modern age, for them to go ahead and say, hey, we're going to have another anime. It's a second anime. And then maybe Netflix picks it up. Or maybe, you know, Hulu picks it up. Or Disney Plus, because we need more streaming services. And but I think something like that would be really interesting. And I honestly could see Disney Plus just like sinking their teeth into that. Or Amazon Prime. I'd be into it.
Yeah, sure.
Or Crunchyroll, like Shamu said. Crunchyroll's a great avenue for this as well in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody would be mistaken not to try to pick it up and put on like a regular TV station.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
It's just going to make money, really, with advertising and stuff.
It's a good idea.
It, it's hard to say no to Pokemon with that type of stuff. Like, it's just you're just taking free money at that point.
I could see it succeed on a streaming service, but nobody, like, and especially in the millennial / Gen Z, early Gen Z age groups, really watches TV with commercials. It's like all Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon.
Oh yeah, I think it'll definitely have to be on some kind of streaming service if it happens. I don't think it'll happen. Granted, I this is just like a wish list, and I really hope that we get a Pokemon game, or not a Pokemon anime, that just kind of caters to us, and I don't think it'll ever happen. I think this is the closest that we'll ever get is to this, I don't want to say a reboot, but a refresh probably of the anime, where we get to go around to different places and maybe we get to delve into the stories that we didn't really get to delve into before. You know what would be really silly, and this is probably my last remark, and then you guys can tell me what you wish for, but I think it would be really silly if they went back to Johto and then Ash got the GS ball. I think that would be the greatest thing ever, that there's just like something like an 18 season gap for that plot line.
Well, they could solve that if he goes to every region. Mm-hmm. That could be on the way. Here's the side arc. There you go. Yep. Like, here's some mini arc of some crap.
And then you get like Celebi stuff, and it's a perfect time for Celebi stuff. And because it's been a while, you don't have a movie.
We still don't know what they're doing, but if they were doing like little mini arcs for this thing and multiple regions, having one leading into another, they could make that work so well if they write it correctly. They could make this huge overarching plot just by having little smaller things somehow connect to something else. Like, oh, we went to, had to go to Sinnoh for some reason. They find out there's this Great Sidious thing after they do their, came to Sinnoh first. And then there's that, and after that, it's like, oh, yeah, take Mallow back, and then something happens in Alola, which leads into this and that, and they can zip around and make things lead into whatever they want.
The only problem I have with that is the problem that I've had with the Alolan anime so far is that there doesn't seem to actually be any quote-unquote milestones, right, that we're used to in the Pokemon anime.
Unless they make it that in this time, like there's some sort of championship set up for Ash. I don't know why I'm thinking that's the thing, but like, I feel like, oh, he gets back to Kanto, like, oh, hey, we set up this whole like relay for you. You gotta go to all the regions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that's gonna be a thing, but I just got a weird, like, that's a thought in the back of my head. Like,
I really hope that we can do something that would, I don't know. I really want milestones, and I miss that a lot. Because this generation, we didn't really have them. Like, yeah, he fought the Kahunas and he beat the Kahunas, but there was no timetable for it. It was never like actually something that was actively his goal.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, we're here. We should do this while we're here.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't like that per se. That was probably the only complaint I have about the Alola anime, because I thought it was really interesting that we got some cool slice of life stuff out of it. Unfortunately, I think they're just like that. Like, without that milestone, it really dragged on for me. Granted, not as much as it dragged on in Diamond and Pearl, where with that 50 episode gap between badges. But I mean, if you take I will always cherish like the first five seasons of the Pokemon anime as like the holy grail of the Pokemon anime. Those went at a good pace.
Indigo League,
Orange Islands through Johto. Season 5 was Master Quest and the end of the Johto League. And then after that, it's Pokemon Advance, and he goes to Gen 3, and things get kind of weird.
Gen 3 had a really solid start, but it got into monotony.
It got a really solid start, and then it slowed down pretty quick. I think the problem was they came to this idea which they've been carrying on as very, very much so recently, that Ash is only going to catch like three Pokemon or five Pokemon in this region, and that's it. And then he's done. And I think that's really hurt the quality of the show overall, because I think in Gens 1 through 5, he's just catching Pokemon if it's something that the episode calls for, right?
Or like,
hey, let's catch this Pokemon.
Something I miss, to be honest, in just general plot dynamics, is it seems that every Pokemon he ends up catching is like a misfit in some way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
When back in the day, you literally need to catch this Muk so it doesn't eat you.
Right, that's how he caught Muk, and then it was. I mean, you had the really cool Heracross. He caught the Heracross because Heracross was having issues and it needed help with it. It was already a strong partner. I mean, I think with the three starters, they were all quote unquote, they weren't really misfits, but they had a story. And then Yeah, nowadays, like, I would say with every single Pokemon that he's caught in Alola, it's probably been that case, because the Rowlet is just like, oh, hey, I'm a Rowlet, but I used to live with these Pikachu, but they don't really like me. And then you had the you had Litten, who was just like, my mentor died, which that was heartbreaking. And I will say that was very good. And then after that, he had Poipal, which was lost. The Rockruff at least joined him, and it wasn't a misfit. It just joined him because it wanted to join him. And then you had Meltan, was just like, I'm lost again. And that's been his Alola adventure. And
oh, well, with the Rockruff, it was leaving at night.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There was a story behind it. But it was like, I want to fight. And then Ash trained with it. And then Kukui just...
It was very weak. We haven't had one where Ash like goes out to catch a Pokemon. You know what I mean?
It's more like, you stumble upon everything. Nothing has been like, I see this in the wild, I want to catch it. It's just like,
it's like,
came to me. Come join my family.
I think a good example of that is just Torkoal. Like Torkoal, yeah, maybe it was like a wimp or something, but Ash like found it in the wild and was like, I'm going to catch it. And that's a good example of it. Same with Heracross. Like, he used to have this mentality of, oh, I'm going to catch this Pokemon, and instead of just being like, I'm going to wait for the Pokemon to find me. Gen 5 was also really good. People like to give poop to Gen 5, Gen 5's anime, and I am not one of those people. Yeah, he caught 10 Pokemon, and he had a healthy rotation of them.
Yeah.
It was so, like, he caught a Palpitoad, and everybody's like, oh, he'll never use that again. And he used it. It was awesome.
Oh, who wants to bet that James is going to get a Galarian?
I hope he does.
I hope he does.
I'm hoping that Galarian coughing's a thing, and that he just gets Galarian coughing.
That'd be cool.
This is also assuming that we're going to get the traditional anime back, and I don't think that's a guarantee right now. We're going to find out more on the 29th. I will say that. We'll find out more on the 29th, and I'm very excited for that announcement, because I want to see what this anime turns out to be, and if they actually do want to do something quote-unquote bold. By bold, I mean anything else other than following Ash to Galar. And so I'm very interested to see that. All right, though, that's a good place to end it. So I want to know everybody else's opinion on this. So that's the mailbag question this week. We'll reiterate that at the end. But we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Well, school's coming up, kids. If you want some cool new swag for, I don't know, back-to-school season, you can go over to Puckle Tee Public Store, and you can go and grab any kind of designs, whether it just be the Puckle logo so you can represent me and the company that all these people are working for, or maybe you just want something cool like a Pokemon like Dragonite Kanji shirt. It's fantastic. We got everything over there. If not, maybe you want a throw pillow to throw in your apartment if you're going to college. Just some cool artwork to put on your wall. You can just go grab some of the Puckle staff pictures that Basket put up. They're great. I suggest it. Everything you can buy there helps us out in any single way that you can possibly do it. It's a great way to support the show and get something in return. So please go do it. And I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 034, Nidoking, the Drill Pokemon.
It uses its powerful tail in battle to smash, constrict, then break the prey's bones.
Yeah, drills.
You know, like, out of all Pokédex entries, like, most of them revolve around its tail. You'd think it'd be about the big horn.
Nope.
its tail is bigger than its horn, so I'm not surprised.
That's true. That is true.
That tail would be big.
So Nidoking is actually not a terrible Pokemon whatsoever. It's in the UU tier right now. And I actually love it. I'm a big fan because it's got decent stats. It gets sheer force as an ability. It's not a bad mon. And so we have a base speed of 85. Not terrible, especially in the UU tier. That outspeeds Gardevoir, which is all that matters.
Yep.
And it's got a base HP of 81, base attack of 102, base special attack of 85, which both those aren't terrible. You typically use Nidoking, surprisingly, as a special attacker. It turns out because of sheer force and its move pool. It has a defense of 77, a special defense of 75. Not a bad mon at all. And so the set that we decided to run is pretty standard Smogon set. It is a Nidoking holding a life orb with sheer force 252 special attack, 252 speed, timid nature, sludge wave, which gets the sheer force boost, earth power, which I also gets the sheer force boost, and ice beam, which gets a sheer force boost, as well as toxic spikes, just to kind of lay something else out. I think you can run thunderbolt if you really want to, but you have ice
thunderbolt,
beam.
You've got options. It's kind of just, you run the dual stab with ice coverage.
With ice beam,
solid.
Yep. I think that's pretty good.
And I think that's solid. Like, even though Nidoking has a higher physical attack, they run special too because of, like, it hits certain things better, as well as not, you don't lose, you don't, your Pokemon isn't dead once it gets burned.
Exactly.
That's also a thing. Like, and you could, it's still, it just hits generally harder with other base stats, and because, as we said, Earth Power gets a sheer force boost. Sheer force boost. Earthquake doesn't.
Earthquake does not, no.
And it's like, it was a Life Orb, it just, it kind of adds up to be more, and you don't take the recoil from Life Orb because of sheer force.
Because of sheer force. Yeah, it's weird. It's crazy. So we also, to back this up, because big things that can hit Nidoking and really knock it out are psychic types, water types. I mean, it has a host of weaknesses, actually. It's weak to water, ground, psychic, and ice. To nail like three of those in one mon, Slowking does a really good job of that with the Assault Vest. And so Slowking, Assault Vest, Regenerator, because Regenerator's the best ability. 252 HP, 4 defense, 252 special attack, modest nature, and he's got Future Sight, Scald, Fire Blast, Ice Beam. Future Sight is a better move than I thought it would be competitively, just because it's like base 120, and your opponent will probably forget about it. Like, that's the thing, people aren't prepared for it, and they don't think two turns ahead like that a lot of the time.
Or if they do prepare for it, then you can prepare for the switch.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You can predict the switches and everything. It's really good. I'm a really big fan.
Yeah, and looking at the team overall, this Slowking is very, very important. Like, you need you want the thing alive always, because you have a lot of things that are kind of like weak to psychic or weak to like a special move or ice fairy.
Yeah.
Resistant to fairy, but like, it's got the fact that you've got what, 120, 130 base special defense and assault vest. And it's like, and you've got regenerator. This is your pivot for special attack. Special attack coming, you're switching into this, and then you're switching out or you're hitting it back or whatnot.
But go on, tell me some more, Shamu. Tell me more.
So we also have something else to assist our little bulky boy here with we have a Florges here that's holding leftovers. It's got Flower Veil with 252 HP, 252 defense, and 4 special attack, bold nature.
Pretty standard.
Yeah, with Moonblast, Calm Mind, Synthesis, and Wish. So you've got just Calm Mind set, but you also have Wish, so you can actually Wish Path to things like Slowbro or Slowking if it takes too much damage and you can't get it back with regenerators in time. Or even your Nidoking if you take too much chip over time if you're switching a lot. And it also helps out for your other bulky Pokemon here, which is at Mega Aggron, which has Filter as Megas. It's got 252 HP, 212 special defense, and 44 speed with a careful nature.
I'm not sure what we're outrunning, but it's okay. I think we might outrun minimum speed Scissor. I think that's what
that
we might outrun
here. That probably is, because you have Stealth Rock, Heavy Slam, Toxic, and Fire Punch, which is probably to deal with Scizor and other steel types. And the thing is, like, Mega Aggron's...
mostly Scizor. Welcome to UU.
Aggron's a really bulky Pokemon. It's just the fact that it has no reliable recovery other than, like, Rest Talk. And so the Florges also helps that out with Wish Passing.
Yep.
And then Aggron will deal with some of those ice types and stuff, like the ice and water.
One of the really nice things I notice about this team is how it spreads the need of support across multiple Pokemon. And the next two Pokemon, which are sort of powerhouses, also take on a slight role of supporting as well. We've got Hydreigon with a Choice Scarf. This is obviously a Pokemon you keep in the back most of the game, or you send it out in like little bits to do U-turns to scout out. This is a scout Pokemon slash finisher. Hydreigon's really powerful. It's really important to finishing up a lot of teams. You're going to do a 252 special attack, 252 speed, timid nature, because you want to be as fast as possible. You're going to run Draco Meteor. It's probably not going to be staying out for too long when it does. And when you want it out, it needs to hit hard. You got Dark Pulse for coverage and stab. You've got Defog, which is the support I'm talking about. So it's really important in case someone is running a heavy Toxic Spikes or Stealth Rocks plus Spike strategy, or even just Stealth Rocks, because Stealth Rocks is overpowered. and U-turn, obviously. And the other semi-support slash powerhouse of this team, which is going to wrap it up, is our dear friend Beware.
Get all them hugs.
Right. Leftovers with the ability Fluffy. It has a specific EV set. I'm not sure what it's meant for, but it's there. It's 40 HP, 252 attack, and 216 speed. It probably outspeeds something important, so keep that in mind.
Probably.
Running an adamant nature, because Beware is really powerful, with Swords Dance, Drain Punch, Facade, and Taunt. And Taunt is that support move that I'm talking about. And you see all these support moves spread across the entire team. Taunt on Beware, Stealth Rock on Aggron, Wish on Florgist, Defog on Hydreig, on Toxic Spikes on Nidoking, and I guess Future Sight on Slowking.
Slowking just is support. It doesn't need a move.
Yeah, it is just like it's just a bulky guy that comes in and soaks it up.
Yeah. So this is a really cool team.
I love it.
It's not just six Pokemon in a group together. This is actually a team because they synergize really well.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I love it. It's a really, really solid team, and I'm a big fan of it. So other than that, though, that's it. If you want a shiny Nidoking, you can come on over to the Puckle Patreon, patreon.com/PucklePodcast, and we'll be giving out a shiny Nidoking when I catch up. Right now, we're running the shiny, oh my gosh, I forget what it is, Weezing. So we're catching up. We're going to probably be there next week. So if you want shiny Nidoking, come on over to the Puckle Patreon, and we'll get you in. So with that, though, guys, we are going to take a quick turn over to the mailbag segment where we're going to read your emails.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hopes. I have to make sure that it's fictional, because if not, people always ask me where to buy it. And so,
you know, maybe one day that's like something we could do. Like one of those, like, obviously pyramid scheme, make your own energy drink companies. Like, we could just make some absolutely terrible Green Tauros and sell them.
So
what we do is we go to Dollar General or Dollar Tree and pick up energy drinks.
Nope.
We can't do that.
Nope. I know where you're going with that, and it's not happening. So, but welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. If you email PucklePodcast@gmail.com, we'll probably read your email. Last week, we wanted to know from you guys, I forget what we talked about, but probably about what all the new Pokemon and what you thought about them. So let's jump right into these emails. Our first one is going to be from She. Scrawn, you got this one.
Oh, okay. Hello, Puckalonians. She here. How are you doing today, Puckle Crew? I'm here today to tell you what I think about the new additions to Pokemon Sword and Shield. First off, Pokemon Camp. I really couldn't care less about it. I think the way Jishiro put it, it's perfect. It's like the new Toyota Corolla. I knew it was coming, but I wasn't excited for it. I think it may be a nice feature for little kids who get Pokemon Sword and Shield, although it honestly reminds me of Pokemon mobile game. Anyway, it's cool, I guess, and it might be nice if they manage to give the curries a useful purpose, like boosting IVs or EVs. Alright, time to talk about the new Pokemon. First off, I think the little tea guy is adorable, and I think Pole Tea Guys might see use as a Trick Room setter, if it gets Trick Room. I think it might also hit up that T public, spelled like T.
Yeah.
Hit up that T. It's hard to put the kind of joke onto a podcast.
Yes, it really is.
I think it might also hit up that T public store pretty often, so you guys should at least be happy about that. Anyway, to sum up this adorable little ghost, Teapot, I love and think it's adorable. Moving on to Cramorant. I think he is, frankly, quite ugly, but in a Slowpoke and Psyduck kind of way. So kind of cute. And have potential. I think his ability could be useful if used right. A combo of Surf and Protect could be gross. Only being able to hit him every other turn would be annoying. Or if you're running Dive every three turns.
There's a reason that strategy isn't used now, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
It's just annoying. It's not necessarily good. It's just annoying. All right. I guess it all comes down to how much damage its ability does. Although, at this point, too much speculation is pointless. If I were to design him, I wouldn't design him like a second Pelipper. I would design him more like a water-type Talonflame. I think the meta would greatly benefit from a fast Pokemon, but alas, I seriously doubt that's going to happen. How would you guys design him? And what kind of Pokemon would be cool to see, for instance? A fast, bulky Pokemon? Anyway, thanks for reading my email, and have a good day. She.
The Pokemon that I want to see has already been revealed, and his name is Rolycoly.
Rolycoly is great. We got two Roly Pokemon. We got Wooloo and Rolycoly.
I think Rolycoly, honestly, is the most underappreciated Pokemon outside of Drednaw from these reveals so far. Because
I gotta say, I forget this thing, but I don't hate it. I like it. I just want it to evolve.
I think Rolycoly is going to evolve into something really cool. People keep saying it's going to be like a locomotive. I don't care. I just want it to evolve, and we get like a really cool like rock fire type that's actually useful, looking at you, Makargo. And it has steam engine, so like if it gets hit by water, it's good.
Do we get Thomas the Tank Engine as a Pokemon?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
Choo-choo.
So, okay, here's a thought. What if you put two Rolycolys together and strap them to your feet, then you got a ride Pokemon?
Oh, man, that'd be great.
You got some Heelys. You got some Heelys.
You have Heelys, but you're like a foot or two off the ground.
I'm not mad about what you're saying.
No. I feel like it's more likely to be like a, what are they called? A Segway. You put a foot on either side of it, and it just rolls.
Oh my god.
Oh, not Segway, whatever they have now. The hoverboards, or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The thing that you lean and they move. I don't know what they're called.
The thing that people ride on college campuses is just kind of makes you generally dislike them.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
That's what it is. It's just one of those, but it gets like, when it evolves, it just comes more flat so you can actually put your feet on it comfortably.
Okay, moving on.
Have we ruined Rolycoly for you yet, Thatch?
Our next email is going to be from Enharmonia. N says, hi, Ryan and Thatch and co-host. Also, side note about Ryan, he recently canceled on coming to our next D&D session while I was planning on having the next D&D session go into his backstory. So that was fun. So we should all shame Ryan. Boo.
So we should cut out the hi Ryan there.
No, we can't cut it out. We have to leave it there so he knows, okay?
No, I think when you write it, hi Ryan.
I'm sending him a text and telling him that there is a nice big Ryan segment in the mailbag for him, okay?
Shame.
Go to your D&D sessions, you mongrel.
It's your boy Enharmonia writing in again. This week's show is full of information because I, like Whimsicott, avoid watching the directs because I want to be surprised by the when I buy the game. I learned a lot of new stuff to the topic, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not all that interested in new Pokemon revealed because I was hoping that they'd show the starter evolutions and that you'd spend about 10 minutes gushing over them and or roasting them. No, that usually happens a month before release, by the way, just as a fun fact for all of you. Literally, for the Gen 6 reveal, it happened in September and the game came out in October. For Sun and Moon, it came out in November, and the Starter Evolutions came out in October. So, October, we're probably going to see Starter Evolutions. Speaking of roasting, the 100 curry recipes was an interesting concept. Something tells me that most of these curries work like Poke Puffs or Poke Beans so that you can get that Sylveon. I do like the idea of them bringing back a mini game similar to Poke Blocks, though. The only really intriguing information for me was the various new avatar customizations options. For personal reasons, I'm very excited to have green hair. Other than that, Cramorant seems to be more of a gimmick than anything else. 40 forms of all creamy seems a bit excessive, but I'll probably still try to get every single one. And I hope that the Anon from 4chan is working for Game Freak and finally got to fulfill his dream by making Poltegeist a reality. Thank you for another great show, and I will catch you on the flip-flop. Enharmonia. Yes. Those were the things to take away, I guess. The next one is going to be from N-A-T-E. Shamu, you've got this one.
Hey there, Satch, and whoever he has. It's me again. Lots of cool stuff released this week. First up, the Pokemon. I like Cramorant. Good design, a fun little gimmick, even if it's not the most competitive. I am thoroughly convinced it's either a final stage or a single stage Pokemon. I just don't see Pokemon with that kind of gimmick evolving out of it, and if it did hypothetically evolve with the same gimmick ability, then Game Freak would have to model and animate its own custom animation, and we know how hard that is for them. I kid, but...
Burn!
I do agree with it. Probably a single stage, honestly.
It's probably a single stage. If not, there's like a baby Cramorant.
Yeah. I'm imagining like a smaller body, but like it's still the same size head.
I'm into it.
I also really like Poltegeist. I was a little hung up on the fact that it's not a ghost possessing a tea set, but the actual tea. And it shares its tea with people. How does that work? How does the tea factor into its biology? I guess it's a ghost, so it doesn't have to follow the rules, and I would be even more uncomfortable with Pokemon if its Pokedex said something like, "This Pokemon's milk tastes exactly like black tea. Drink some." Drink.
I have been made uncomfortable multiple times already in this email.
I don't know what the first one was, but that's okay. Don't explain.
On to the new features. I don't think Game Freak really knows what they're doing with the marketing if they said something like, "You can keep track of the recipes you make in a cookbook. No one would ever have an issue with it." Okay, less people would have an issue with it. Instead, it comes off as, "You know that one Dex everyone wanted? We had to get rid of it for this Dex that nobody wanted." Like, come on, guys. Read the room a little bit.
I don't blame them for that, actually. I understand they're just being like, "Hey, you can keep all of your recipes here so you can reuse them." And you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm over it. It's fine.
Better to have more features than less.
Kind of, yeah. Keep going, Shamu.
Yeah. Outside of that, I think it might potentially be really interesting. The more boring, more likely situation is that Kree functions like the Pokebeans, with the fancier, more gourmet recipes being the rainbow/pattern beans. The far more interesting situation, it's basically redoing the Pokeblock Poffin mechanics.
Yeah, I hope
that's
so.
More, I think that's what it really is, I think. It's just like,
I think so. I hope so.
Because the Poffin was like the same kind of minigame, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was. I think it was actually more involved. You had to like pay attention to your speed and stuff so you didn't burn them.
Yeah. Pokeblocks and Poffins were used to pump up your minigame stats, like contests. I think it was just contests, actually.
Yeah, it was just contests.
Is this the return of Pokemon contests?
Ooh, I wish. That would be so much fun, though.
Probably not, but it would be a pleasant surprise. Yeah.
I welcome a return of contests.
Something like that, maybe.
If they can make them more like the show where you have to do a battle, but you have to pick like the most optimal move that will get you the most points with the judges while you're doing that battle, trying not to die, that would be so cool.
Probably not, but it would be a pleasant surprise if they did introduce something similar, like a Pokemon Runway fashion show or something, training their Pokemon as celebrities in Galar, after all.
Hmm.
Because Leon is technically a celebrity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be a thing they're just trying to aim for. As for customizing your trainer, it's pretty neat. I mean, the last home console had the ability to customize not only your gloves, but you could also pick a body type that ranged from... Wait, what?
No, keep going.
Okay, big muscular army man to a small, cute little space girl. If
this
Trevor
was
this was
Battle Revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like trying to think. I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, oh, that makes sense. But if Trevor, Tierno, Sean, and Caleb Serena were all roughly the same age with different body types, why not give us three or four to choose from? We can already pick our gender and ethnicity. Still, trainers customizing was my favorite thing they implemented in Gen 6, so I'm glad they're improving it. I am very glad we have that customization.
I'm happy it's coming back, yeah.
Yeah, with the degree they're doing too, it's just, it's nice. We're gonna have a lot of options. Small little side about Pokemon Masters, because I didn't have this complaint last week. Why is Hilbert so short? I get that DNA didn't want to give him and Hilda the red treatment with a cool new redesign, complete with Hot Rod Flames, but at least make his and Sharon's models similarly sized. Now just like Sharon is best buds with a 12-year-old. Weird that the two-player characters that were intentionally designed to be the oldest ended up shorter than the other ones. That's just my small little nitpick. Thanks again for providing such an entertaining and informative update on Pokemon every week. You guys are awesome. Sincerely, Nate. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. That is it for the emails this week. If you want to email us, you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you think the anime is going to do with its new direction. I'm very excited to see what you guys do. Or what do you want the anime to do? That's also a good question. Please send those in. Do you think any of these guys need the green Tauros badge before we move on?
I think Nate put good effort of his.
Who? Say that
Nate.
Again.
Nate.
You know what? Nate, you can get it. If you come to the Discord server and you ask for it, we'll give you that green Tauros badge. And moving on, though, if you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week and make sure you don't miss any of our cool Discord events, first of all, come to the Discord and just hang out there. We tag you if you want to come to an event. Second of all, if you really want to catch up with us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all great places to go. We're at Puckle Podcast on all of those platforms. You can then, of course, check us out on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. I'm doing the Nuzlocke there. Jushiro's doing TCG. It's a fun time. It's a great way to hang out with you guys. I also like it when you guys interact with the Nuzlocke. I think that's a lot of fun. Watching all of your reactions when things die, I think. Like when we all realized the slow, inevitable fate of Onyx. That was very fun. I really like doing that stuff with you guys, and I'm very excited to keep doing it with you. But yeah, twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. If you want to get more video content, maybe you've missed the streams, you should go over to our YouTube page, youtube.com/pucklepodcast, where you can catch up on those, see our battle commentary videos, and we've got some new content that's going to be rolling out here hopefully in the next month or two. And then finally, if you want to help support the show monetarily, several ways to do that. One, go to Twitch, dump your Twitch Prime membership in there if you've got one, or a regular subscription if you really want to. You can also go ahead and go to our T Public store, buy some cool T Public swag, such as phone cases. And that's where we'll end that. And then, of course, if you want to support the show more directly, get shiny Pokemon and real life badges from the Puckle Podcast Summer League. You can go ahead and join our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. But that is it for this week, guys. It's been a fun show with these two guys. I'm thankful they're here. And I've been Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shimu.
And I am Zakram.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
As always, we here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons for helping support the show and waiting very patiently for the rewards, because the badges will be on their way later this week. I'm going to send out everything, even if you're not, but I'm going to be doing the, what's it called? The August, September, and October rewards are all going out at the same time. You're going to get 3 badges in your next bundle. So hopefully you will stay true and you'll still patron us next month as well. and then we're going to have to come up with new prizes for you guys, because I don't know what we're going to do after October. So we're going to go ahead and do that. But let's thank all of our patrons. Thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Rob, Josh, Alex, Keegan, Ilaria, OG Paladin, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Chris, Shin, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Mr. Panda, Titan Killer, Lane, Lord Korbnik, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King Kavik, Enharmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Claude9, Bodtech, Chris, Swampertata, Joseph, Christopher, Joshua, Zane, Doc McStuffles, Cody, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor, Mark, TJ, Ryan, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Taylor, Charles, Allegionary, there we go, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, Zephyr, David, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Justin, South, Locke, Jordan, Zach, Graham, Greg, Alec, Jegler, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Dark Flame, Zarni, Halfle Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Dylan, Joseph, Franco, Traby, Cordell, and Julia. Thank you to all of you. You make the world go round here at Puckle, and we really appreciate it. Look out for those rewards coming here in the near future. Also, live show. I think we're going to plan for something this Friday, the 13th, so watch out for that on Patreon. We're going to see if we can get a live show going. All right, guys. Thanks a lot, and I hope to catch you all on the flip-flop.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.